Please turn in your Bibles with me to the Old Testament, first to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 through 4. It's found on page 794 in the Pew Bibles. Isaiah 66. People of God, hear now the very word of God. Thus says the Lord. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? What is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. He who slaughters an ox is like one who kills a man. He who sacrifices a lamb like one who breaks a dog's neck. He who presents a grain offering like one who offers pig's blood. He who makes a memorial offering of frankincense like one who blesses an idol. These have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. I also will choose harsh treatment for them and bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen. But they did what was evil in my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight. Let us turn in the New Testament to the Gospel account of Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. It's found on page 1029, the Pew Bibles. We'll read verses 13 through 26. Our focus will be verses 17 through 20. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount Jesus delivered. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. In our focus, our text, verses 17 through 20. Congregation, maybe you've heard someone say something to the effect of, well, don't make such a big deal of those commandments. You don't want to be a legalist. You don't want to be a Pharisee. Those words, legalist, Pharisee, what does that mean? Well, part of the answer to that is is what someone thinks of God's law. Now, imagine most of us would say God's law, like the apostle says, is holy and good. It ought to be obeyed. We admit we don't obey it as we ought, but it ought to be obeyed perfectly. But what do you think of the details of God's law? Are the details valuable? Is it worthwhile to think about, to ponder how God's law applies in the details of our lives? Are some people too concerned with the details of the commandments? Do they need to lighten up? Fortunately, that is the attitude of many people, even some who call themselves Christian. Some people think that those who are concerned with the details of God's law, well, they're Pharisees, they're legalists. That is not what we see in Jesus' teaching today, in the passage before us. Instead, we see something else, that God's law is honored in his kingdom. That's what I proclaim to you this morning. God's law is honored in his kingdom. And first we consider from verse 17, honoring the law, honoring the law. As Jesus began to teach, people were astounded. Read of that later at the end of this sermon. They were amazed at the authority with which Jesus spoke. No wonder, for when you and I, when we read Christ's words, it strikes us. Jesus dared to challenge the conventional wisdom of the Pharisees and scribes, those who had taught the Jews for years. His teaching contradicted theirs. And so, of course, questions would arise. Well, Jesus, what do you view about the law? Well, this is what the Pharisees teach about the law, but you're giving a different teaching. Are you trying to overthrow the law and the prophets? The Pharisees taught that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, one had to be rich in law obedience. How can Jesus then, as we saw before, how can he say, blessed are the poor in spirit, who hunger and thirst for righteousness? Is it those to whom the kingdom of heaven belongs? Likewise, how could one be the salt of the earth when, well, the Pharisees seem to teach that in order to enter the kingdom, you had to be separate and cleanse yourself from the world? Didn't the prophets of old rail against Israel of old because they compromised, because they conformed, because they did not care enough about the law to keep it and be rich in it? Jesus, aren't you dishonoring God's law? Aren't you abolishing the law and the prophets? He does no such thing. Jesus doesn't. The Pharisees are judging Jesus from their perspective, which Jesus reveals to be bankrupt, to be false. So they hear Jesus' teaching and they filter it through their own understanding, wrong understanding of the law and the prophets. The Pharisees did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of his people, the Word of God. They think Jesus is coming to abolish the law and the prophets. Now our text, it almost seems to interrupt this Sermon on the Mount. Before this, Jesus spoke of salt and light. After this, anger, then on to adultery and so forth. The Sermon on the Mount is about kingdom living, about how citizens in the kingdom of heaven ought to live. It shows forth then that you are a citizen in God's kingdom. So this makes sense then, this part here, because right away Jesus sets forth the attitude toward God's law. Is he seeking to undo what has come before, the law and the prophet? Is Jesus a revolutionary? No, he's not. Verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He says very clearly, I have not come to abolish. Jesus is not trying to set up a parallel path to serve God. He's not seeking to establish a second church of God based upon something other than the law and the prophets. Jesus is no dispensationalist in that regard, a church parallel to Israel. There's one church of God. There's one Savior. The law and the prophets, Jesus has come to fulfill them. That's his purpose. Not to abolish, but to fulfill, as we've said before, to fill full the law and the prophets. But by misunderstanding Jesus' teaching, his purpose, by not believing Jesus is the Son of God, the Pharisees demonstrate they completely misunderstand the law and the prophets that look ahead to Jesus, the Christ. Jesus honors the law and the prophets by fulfilling them. It was not in only just one way that Jesus fulfilled them, but in several. We'll just list some. Jesus has come as the Son of David, fulfilling many prophecies. Jesus fulfills by giving true teaching. This comes out in the Sermon on the Mount and others. Jesus fulfills with healing persons. That is, he actually brought the cleansing that the law looked forward to. Jesus fulfilled it by righteous living, cleansing from the defilement of sin. Jesus fulfilled by bearing the full penalty of the law of those who have broken the commandments. Jesus fulfills the law by bringing righteousness and life to us, his followers. Jesus' perfect righteousness, his satisfaction, his holiness are credited to us, imputed to us, and so God justifies us, believers. But there's more fulfillment because God's Spirit imparts to us Christ's righteousness so that we live it out. God sanctifies us. By God's grace, we truly do good works. Unlike the Pharisees, whom Jesus at other points calls, in essence, a son of hell. Christ honors the law and the prophets. He did not seek to abolish them. He honored them not by giving lip service, but by fulfilling them, by doing what they required, by doing what they said had to be done, being what they foretold. With Jesus, the heart of the law is brought to mankind. Righteousness has come at last. He did so because the law is honorable. He fulfilled it and didn't abolish it because the law is honorable. And that's what we move to in our second point, the honor of the law. Verse 18, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. God gave the law to Moses. God also gave the words to the prophets that they wrote down. The law, the prophets, they are from God. Woe therefore be to the one who would dare speak against the law and the prophets. Such a one is not a child of God, but is following in the devil's footsteps. Great honor is to be given to God's law. And Jesus accords great respect, great reverence to that word. As we read from Isaiah 61, it is the one who trembles at God's word that God esteems. Now I think of our lives. We give honor to men. We give honor to kingdoms that pass away, that other men can cause to pass away. The kingdom of America, it will pass. If Christ doesn't come before then, it will. But Jesus says, nothing can pass from the word of God. Not an iota, not a dot, until all is accomplished. If someone could abolish heaven and earth, the word of God would still remain. Getting rid of heaven and the earth is not something man can do. Only God will shake the heavens and the earth. The law and the prophets are greater. Mankind today thinks this book is just, well, it's just another holy book of other religions, right? Man as the author. No. This is more lasting than the laws of physics. This is more lasting than all creation, right here. They surpass that which is of this creation because they are the very words of Almighty God himself. This testifies then to the role that Jesus has, the divine Messiah, because in him something this great is fulfilled. Jesus teaches here, in part, just how important and honorable the Word of God is. This Bible you hold in your hands, children, there's no magic in it. It's not a magic book. It is a holy book, though. It is not some mere document of man, some holy book of man's religions like others think. It is the very word of God. As such, it cannot pass away. Man cannot undo it. Oh, man can burn the pages of it, but the word cannot. Even those as religious as the Pharisees could not abolish the word of God. Now, what does Jesus mean here by iota and dot? Well, iota is the smallest letter of the Greek alphabet, similar with just a dot. It's a small mark. What Jesus is getting at here is the lastingness, but also the authority, the reliability of Scripture. We can't pick and choose what's God's word and what isn't. Satan cannot even undo the smallest part. In all that the Bible touches upon, it is true. There are no errors in the Bible. It cannot err. And all that the Bible is will be forever true. So who is man, any man, Pharisees, or anyone else to dishonor the law of God? We have to eat our words every day, don't we? We have to erase our writings. Young people, perhaps you're taking a composition class. Just led a chapel this past Friday, and the students had to take out their composition books. Now, in composition class, when you're writing an essay, you usually go through several drafts, don't you? You change things, you scratch out, you delete words, maybe even an entire paragraph. Maybe you get to the end of your paper, and you say, that really doesn't make sense. I need to rework this whole thing. Think of the president in making of the State of the Union address. Then he changes. That's not the case with the Word of God. It is settled. It is established. It is to be held in the highest honor possible. So as your pastor, let me ask you, how are you honoring God's Word in your life? Are you reading it privately? Are you reading it as a family? Fathers, husbands, are you gathering your family around the Word of God? Hear the words of life. Are you memorizing it? Are you pondering it? Store it in your hearts. Jesus honors the law and the prophets, fulfilling them, accomplishing all. All. What does it mean that all is accomplished? Well, it's similar to fulfilling the law and the prophets. True teaching is given. True righteousness is lived in this world by Christ. The penalty for law-breaking is suffered by Christ. Resurrection comes. The old heavens, the old earth, they will pass away. Already God has introduced the new heavens and new earth in the resurrected Christ. The word of God is fulfilled. This is what Jesus does. He honors the law. But there are others who seek to undo the law. Mere humans, sinners. Now, their undoing the law doesn't come through fulfilling it, but breaking it. And Jesus gets at that, and we move to, in our third point, verse 19, breaking of the law. So Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Everyone else breaks them. Read verse 19. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, first read, it might strike us a little odd that Jesus uses the word relax or relaxes here. What does he mean by that? Other translations say set aside or breaks. Now, this word, the word Jesus used, now the Greek word behind this, is used throughout the Bible. It often means loose. You know, Jesus uses it when he speaks of binding and loosing with the keys of the kingdom. When Jesus sent his disciples to get the donkey and its colt, they untied it. They loosed them. So when Jesus says someone relaxes one of these commandments, ultimately it means that he's not obeying it. She's not obeying it. Relaxing is disobedience. And it's not only the actual act of relaxing or breaking that's so bad, it's teaching others to do that, to follow in their footsteps. It's relaxing and teaching others to relax. Who are teachers? ministers, elders, deacons, parents, school teachers. It's each and every Christian. By promoting, defending perhaps our own lifestyles, our own choices. Now those who have the office of teacher are especially in mind, even as Jesus in verse 20 speaks specifically of scribes and Pharisees. Such persons ought especially to guard themselves in their teaching. Now, Jesus does not only say it's those who relax and teach others to relax, but he focuses also on the least of these commandments. Now Jesus teaches elsewhere some commandments are weightier. There's weightier matters of the law. But what we see here is God cares for even the least commandment. Now we can see this even in the next, keep that in mind, as in, Lord willing, following weeks, we go into these different aspects. For instance, anger, lust. Jesus drills down in those commandments to bring out the least, or what some people think of as the least. Murder is found in anger. Adultery is found in lust. God gave even the least commandments, and therefore every human ought to honor even the least commandment. They've come from God. And Jesus says, the one who relaxes a commandment, even the least commandment, and teaches others to do so, Jesus says, what will they be? They will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And the one who does and teaches will be called great. What does Jesus mean by least? What does he mean by great in the kingdom of heaven? Well, someone who relaxes and teaches others to relax are those who dishonor God's law. They dishonor the law of the King of our kingdom. They should not be listened to. There's some debate whether such a one is even in the kingdom because they aren't honoring the law, they aren't honoring the King of the kingdom. Holy Spirit hasn't worked a love for the law in their hearts, a love for God. They claim to be in the kingdom of heaven, but their life, their teaching evidence, are they? Certainly don't listen to such people like that. Don't listen to such teachers. And we are to apply this to ourselves, congregation. We all break commandments. We're all sinners. But true Christians repent of their sin. They acknowledge what is righteous. They acknowledge this is God's law. And I haven't done it. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Cover me in Christ's righteousness. I want to do what's right. Help me. Examine your own hearts and lives, congregation. Are you relaxing God's commandments? Even the least of them? Is there a commandment you consider to be one of the least ones, and so I don't feel so bad as neglecting or breaking that one? For some, it's the command to love others. For others, it's the command to keep the Sabbath day holy. For others, it's the command to worship God only as He has commanded in His Word. For others, it's chastity. For others, it's obeying authority. Pick the commandment. Pick how, when Jesus drills down into these, what it looks like. Now, do you confess these as sins seeking forgiveness, or do you say, well, those commandments don't really matter. I'm more concerned with the big commandments, the big picture. Getting the little ones, the smaller ones, yeah. Focus on the big ones. Don't sweat the small stuff. You will not find Jesus teaching that, ever. You won't. He says we ought to keep the least, the minor, and the greater, the lighter, and the weightier. And you know what? Not one of us does as we ought. We all fall short. But if someone disregards what they consider to be the least of God's commandments, it's an indication. What does Jesus say? They are least in the kingdom of heaven. Those aren't my words. Those are Christ's. And that's doing what the Pharisees of old did. Hypocritically claiming to love God, to be a follower of Him, all the while denying the power, the righteousness, the law of God. This week of self-examination, diligently examine your heart and life. And as you do that, you will find sin if you do it rightly. Don't excuse that sin. Don't say, well, that was a little sin. Or look at that person's sins. That's a little sin that I did. It's not so bad. Look, no one got hurt. No, confess that sin to God. Ask God to forgive you for the sake of Jesus. Pray for the Spirit of God to change you so that you would walk in God's commandments, all His commandments. Don't delay. By God's grace, repent and believe. And next week, come to the table of the Lord to receive the sign and seal of being nourished by Christ, receiving from Jesus righteousness unto forgiveness, righteousness unto living, to be nourished. True Christians are marked by repentance for their sin, a conviction of sin, a sorrow for sin. That we don't match up to God's law, that we look to Christ alone for righteousness. True Christianity does not deny any part of God's law. Pharisees do, though. And that's what Jesus brings out as we move to, in our last point, verse 20, breakers of the law. Breakers of the law. Verse 20, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, with this verse, Jesus issues a surprise verdict. The Pharisees are breakers of the law. They are breakers of the law. They are not, if one holds to what a Pharisee holds to at this point, they are not in the kingdom of heaven, because your righteousness must be greater than theirs to enter it. So who were the Pharisees? Well, as mentioned briefly earlier, we have in our minds often an idea that the Pharisees were a group of religious persons that were very persnickety about the law of God. They would not allow people to do this or that minor things because they taught it broke the law. And when we think of Pharisees, we often think of them as legalists in that sense, because they're too concerned with the law and their works of the law. We have this perception, and it's wrong, but it's a perception, that we often think of those in our day that are concerned with God's law as being legalists or Pharisees. And in that way, much true religion is rejected. Brothers and sisters, that's not the problem with the Pharisees. Legalism is not being too concerned with God's law. The problem with the Pharisees is they weren't concerned enough with God's law. That was their problem. Oh, they had their rules, they had their regulations, they had a lot of them, but those were traditions of man. And they elevated their own traditions and their own teachings of man to be the law of God. And they didn't tremble at God's word. In that way, the Pharisees not only relaxed God's law, but they taught others to relax it also. Because they set their own law in the place of God's law, they thought they were good. They thought God would consider them righteous because of their works. That's legalism. But that's because they dishonored God's law. They dishonored God's law in the first place. If someone thinks they're pretty good at keeping God's law, the heart of the Pharisee is in that person. You and I fall so far short of obeying as we ought to obey. Why do we come to church? Not because we are holy and righteous. We need a Savior. Why do we come to baptism, bring our children there? Why do we come to the Lord's table to be nourished by Christ? He's our Savior. Our hope is only in Him, not in us at all. We seek our life apart from ourselves in Christ. And Jesus nourishes us unto eternal life. All righteousness is in Christ alone, and it's through faith alone we lay hold of Christ and all His righteousness. It's not our works at all. Similar to what we read in Isaiah, God was condemning those who would bring sacrifices. They would offer incense. They did it all with an appearance of being religiously right and good. But what did the prophet say? They had chosen their own ways. They set forth their own law to follow. That is an abomination in God's sight. We read it right there in God's word. Again, congregation, never think honoring God's law is being a legalist. Never think being precise about God's law and encouraging others to carefully consider God's law. Don't think that's being a Pharisee. It's not. It's the opposite. I'm going to repeat here because this is so important. Pharisees do not care enough about God's law. They do not honor enough God's law. They honor their own laws. That's their chief problem. If they truly honored God's law, as Jesus did, as true saints do, they would realize they cannot and do not live up to it even close. If they honored God's law, they would realize they don't gain God's favor by their works. If they honored God's law, then they wouldn't be legalists. The sin of Phariseeism, it's something that's within human nature, fallen human nature, even still to our day. Even among some who claim to mock the Pharisees, the root sin is the same. It's dishonoring God's law. God doesn't care one whit about what you and I think is right. It's not the laws or traditions of man that matter. Those don't last. God's law matters. So if someone like a Pharisee dishonors God's law by setting up their own law, the same condemnation applies and comes. Their righteousness is not sufficient to enter the kingdom of heaven. Think of someone who tries to enter into our country. Border agents don't care if someone says they're a citizen. They don't care if someone writes their own letter or commendation. They look for a passport, something official, a visa. How much more if we're going to enter the kingdom of God? God doesn't care if you forge your own righteousness. He looks for righteousness that conforms to his standard. Have you fulfilled the law and the prophets? They're right here. So do you see how much this sin of Phariseeism is so much a part of our fallen nature? By nature, we minimize God's law. We minimize how we worship him. We set up in that place our own methods, our own thoughts, our own desires, our own idols. We read of that in Isaiah 66. By nature, don't we please ourselves on the Sabbath day? In work, in homework, in leisure, in sporting events, instead of truly resting and worshiping God, look around at so many who are entertained by football, even those who call themselves Christians. And if you call them to account for this, don't be surprised if you'll be called a Pharisee, a legalist for wanting to keep the Sabbath day holy. The reverse is true. By nature, we want to live how we want to live. We want to do what we want to do. We set up our own law, our own idea. That's just the way I am. Rather than confessing what is true and right according to God's law. That's what sinful man does. Sinful man sets the standard. So no wonder then we don't think, I'm no sinner. I'm not that great of a sinner. I'm good enough to get into the kingdom of heaven. Or maybe I need some help to get into the kingdom. I just need some help though. Don't think you aren't a Pharisee simply because you're not concerned with details of the law. A Pharisee is one who relaxes God's law, even the least. Such a one is not blessed by God. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that. And if someone has not entered the kingdom of heaven, it means they're in the kingdom of Satan. Means God's wrath is upon them because of their sin. For those in that kingdom, there is only death and destruction, eternal destruction. So what hope is there for you, for me, for anyone? Because we do not attain to the righteousness in God's law in ourselves. We often do set up sinfully our own standards, don't we? What hope do we have? We stand condemned. Don't look to yourself at all. There's hope only to be found in Jesus and him alone. He alone fulfilled the law and the prophets. He's lived a perfect life according to all God's law in all of its details. He has taken upon himself the full penalty for our breaking of God's law. He has satisfied God's justice by his suffering, his death. And God considers all those who trust in Jesus righteous. Righteous according to God's law. which we receive only through faith. Believer, you have Christ's righteousness. And that is vastly better than that of the scribes and Pharisees. By God's grace, believer, you enter the kingdom of heaven. By God's grace, you are a citizen of that kingdom. Trust Jesus always. That's what the Lord's Supper shows us and seals unto us. All that we need for righteousness and life is in Christ and Him alone. And Jesus gives that to us. He nourishes us unto eternal life. Trust Jesus and walk in His way. God's law is honored in His kingdom. Jesus honored it. We honor it by confessing the law in all of its perfection. Confessing we've broken it. But trusting in Jesus who has obeyed it in our place. And as kingdom citizens then, seek to follow God's law according to all its parts and details, even the least commandments. Not making excuses for our sins, our weaknesses. Not seeking to please ourselves, but being honest. Honest with our weakness. Honest with our sin. Honest with God's glory in Christ and His mercy and grace. By God's grace, let us do so. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess. We want to set up our own law. We want to do what we want to do. In our hearts is not obedience to your law, not by nature. And that old man still clings to us, Lord. Forgive us. Clothe us with Christ's righteousness always. May we honor your law in all of its details. May we love your law in all of its details. May we love you. Love your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.